panel members who are here. We welcome the opportunity to brief to the Standing Committee on Public on the IFML, the Integrated Financial Management which was initiated in 2005 as a program to modernize government. As you know, the system was introduced in order to integrate I'm gonna do that. I'm not making any remarks. To integrate many transfers. So we are here to account on that. You know that the committee wants to ask us questions about it. So I'm here accompanied by the Director General, Mr. Tondo Mukhajan, and I will, with your permission, Chair, ask members of the delegation to each one introduce themselves. Thank you very much. That is John Lewis.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Tondo Mukhajan. I'm the Director General of the National Treasury.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Rajan Naidu, CETA IFMS Program Manager.
Good morning, honorable
members. My name is Lenny Wolf, Department of the Treasury.
Good morning, honorable members. The name is Lenny Wolf, I'm the head of
the
Internal Audit
Institution.
Good morning, my name is Samir and I'm a financial officer.
Good morning, I'm Vega Saneka and the financial officer.
Good morning, my name is Jay Fai and I'm the acting accountant general of the National Treasury.
Good morning, I'm honorable member Dave Rush. I'm the internal audit department.
Good morning.
Thank you.
for flood insurance?
So I think this answer should please be platform.
to put things in context, in perspective, and clear things, so that even tomorrow, we are standing behind us and saying this is what should happen. Equally, we ourselves too need to have the confidence that the people who come and give us advice of the church have managed this challenge, which will reside in quality of spiritual structure. So I think for us that is now the things that have come out with the system in our
Let's come to around 7 hours. So I'm not going to correct that. I am saying
about some colleagues who have protected knowledge.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to
say.
The solution chosen in alchemist 1 did not give us the intended result. So you can say that.
No, it's not that I can say. You just get out of the system. Look, having read the text, I want to say the reason was IFMS 2, because IFMS 1 went for IFMS 1, right? And the thing just could not integrate.
National treasure is one of our stakeholders, but it's a who could tell some of the information that we want to share, who could be left behind as a committee, or to put into context and understand how they will be answering that question. So I'm just asking if we could allow them to present their documents.
One of the other things that the G part of what the PMM is saying is to promote the response to transparency about the effect of national treasure. Now, if national treasure can't stand up to that, what is it that we are going to do? How can we ask other departments to be able to comply with the law when the main institution that is supposed to help us to get transparency? And that's where we are. You see, it says when it starts, this particular function is national treasure, is to promote the national government's fiscal policy. So it means that the rules that are in place throughout the period of creation of this particular government has huge expectations from the treasure. Now we are seated and we are present. If ever you want to engage, to play around, I'm quite patient. I'm not going to be patient. Just simple. We are expecting you to account. And it's to you. If you are not ready, I'm not ready. I want to go to the question. And what happened? Because I'm not again. We have lost one thing, and the creation of IFM is true. What is the institution? Because it's their money, they want to be able to pass it. What happened?
Thank you, Chair. I think it's not dealing with the committee. With the World Bank, we have proven to be active in a number of settings. We have used the World Bank on many occasions, including on this one, because they have been engaged, they were engaged in similar projects previously in other countries. And these are the expertise that they have in putting or packaging together what essentially did not work. And not only did we ask World Bank, we also asked Ernst & Young. So the two studies were commissioned, and the report suggested that we have to then repackage this solution differently. And that's what we did immediately after that, in repackaging the project differently after the report. Because the reports were clear that the hybrid model that we were trying to use was not going to work. Off-the-shelf system, as recommended, would have been, became a better option to do that. And that's when IFM2 was born, and that's why IFM2 even now is being implemented. And then in terms of
of implementation, we have staggered it in a way that we think it will be able to be delivered. And the unfortunate thing, as you correctly said, is that it has taken long and it's taken time.
I saw that from the start, Monday in 2005, was quite clear that we were taking a fragmented structure to the project is as the minister was saying, is important financial management system. It is very important. We have been accusing everybody about corruption and whatsoever that is happening in the department when this system could have been in place in 2005. So all administrations that followed after that cabinet agreement have not done that. And today, the taxpayers have lost at the initial act, $1 billion. How would we be able to send that? Because it's very important that even if we went to IFRS, there's no result. There is no result. The centralized system has not been on the table. And today, provinces are taking different options, they are moving differently. What would it be saying is the problem? Is there no political will, or what is it that triggers the particular? Treasury is supposed to be a reflection of how South Africa is working. And it's not working, you see.
In terms of the questions from Honourable Boy, I think it's important to note that when we went to cabinet, not in 2005, in 2013, but we have to acknowledge that there were challenges in the now we can try and understand the $1 billion to have been lost like you said, lost. Or it could have been a situation where we had, at the time, packaged in a way that we thought we would be able to deliver. But we are not. Because as I said, this project is a complex project. It's modernizing, it's looking at parallel to the antiquated systems. You obviously want to come out and deliver based on what the project was all about. But it was then not possible. If one has to go back to the reason one went to cabinet, it is at the time it was clear that the project is taking much, much longer than it is. At the time it was almost 10 years. If you think about it from 2005 to 2015, it was such a long time. So I would not say there was no political will, because largely politicians will give a direction in terms of the need to modernize. That issue would have been taken at the time. But the day-to-day implementation is a technical process, it's hard as official. So I wouldn't want to even say there was no political will. There was. For the fact that politicians made sure that money is available, we have listed the challenges inside 8 and item is 1, if I can direct the committee to slide 8. We are saying that there were significant projects of the delay that were in the course of the project, various phases of the project. There were institutional challenges around how we work with CETA, and I mean CETA not being able to capacitate itself line with software development that was necessary at that point in time. It also became very clear that integration of the various different systems for the formidable perspective was a critical contribution to the software. That's what we said at the time. Again, as I said, we are using antiquated systems, including hardware, by the way, in all government companies, that there were technological constraints in the world. Now, all of these things, for the fact that they were raised right at the end, after implementation, or to an extent after spending some resources, it became clear that there should be some. So that's why then it was important to change course and make sure that we. And by the way, Chair, it was 10 years into something, trying to work on something that was not there. Expertise in the center in this area at the time, colleagues, was non-existent. And I'm not going to try and say we had all the capacity. The whole process was fraught with some challenges, including not only on the integration side of the technology, but also in terms of human capacity to deliver on the project.
So, say, TG, that's why the capacity to act is not set here. You know what I mean? How the business, if ever, that video could have been different from what you're saying. As you went to IFMS 2, and when you asking
I'm not alone. We are with colleagues here, and because
DJ, can you caution me? You're not saying this. Tell me what you must go through here. In your department, you don't get to see. But here, what you check that. If you can just go through here, you can help. You need the meeting to be. But if you want to undermine us, if you are your state chief, we are not your department. And that's more clear. We are not your department. We are here to account. Whatever other mechanism that you put on account. DJ, I want to see what kind of company. And if you're not prepared to take a company, or then you claim that you didn't take the parliament to some chief of the state, never did this. Which is a trend in the church. You don't see that. But if you take the party seriously with their money, they're supposed to be able to tell us that how much of it is. I don't want to feel this thing that you push around. You keep changing the fight, but you want to go out to spend the money to have it. Yeah, man, it's good. Give us a certain. These are with profit the whole time. I don't know that chapter is going to be changed. So I ask you to go to that people that are all about the PFMP. Don't stand up on the and avoid to make what that is. But as now, we want to hear how much it costs a suffering family for itself to go to the world. Even if you, I'm sure you don't go to the world, but just hope that in the morning you go out. Get into the plane and how much that costs up, and how much, how many people will lose the education. That's all the ones we want to hear. At that expense, we're able to create IFM. What doesn't happen in the
future? We have spent 2 million rand for EY. World Bank provided this service with no cost. Gartner is one of the service providers who assisted us in evaluating this. We spent 500,000 rand for it.
Then it meant that the IFRS 2 was started. And it meant that the office that was recommended by the World Bank PMO was created. What happened in this city? Well, the internal audit, which is part of the institution, which means that the scope of all is very high. A lot of information about the conduct of the report. Would you have to take us through why was the work of of the project. And in through this process,
that IFMS 2 was rolled out and IFMS 2 was implemented. So everything that you see around IFMS 2 would be following this broad structure that we have taken in that case. That point where I said I'm not alone here. I'm with a team of people that should help me on this part, because they would have gone into too much in detail in understanding what. But the basic and the summary of the report is that we must consider solutions that are off the shelf that can be modified to actually get to what we should be doing on the actual project, and not do the hybrid model that we tried. So it is through that process that the internal audit needs oversight of the treasury and its responsibility decided then to ask audit, internal audit, audit committee, because the same agenda item for the audit committee, where the internal audit committee of the secretary and the audit committee then decided to make the same agenda item. Audit committee then decides to make sure that there is a payment review that one hour was going to talk about. Now that payment review was for a set period, April 2014, I think August of 2015, for 9 months. An internal audit process that all of you know.
Now you see, if you
aren't able to convince us that you are compliant yourself. There's no need for Parliament to rely on and to consider that was spoke out and about the National Treasury. That's the principle for our National Treasury is important. And we take it very seriously. I'm just asking you now, here is the internal body. You don't know what is here for this one.
Thank you.
what I've seen up here before. The irregularities of where I did my fighting. Some of them are very catastrophic to the department that has been passed from Africa. And I'm saying to you, which is what we do. And this is what the World Health General is very good at. If when departments run away with information and don't provide it, your own internal audit says so. But when it runs, who pays for it? It couldn't find the information in your own department. And how do you go to the internet that this thing is lying there? Well, it couldn't get. This is what they are raising about. When it really helps him hide the fact away from the internal audit. This is what you want to know. No more IFM one which you could have hit hide yourself behind the teacher. I'm talking about where your teacher, your former colleague, so that was fully responsible for monitoring the work here, that how you went to have it. And that didn't happen to you. That's why you got 54 findings. And some of them are catastrophic. And they involve payment. 134 million of an expenditure. I can't explain to you that there are 134 million, and I keep on saying it's not your personal salary, it's the money of our own people. Start gold and collect and then treasure to start to spend. If treasure can spend 133 on top of another billion, then how do we entrust hope with international treasure? This is what I want to ask about you. That how should we arrive here with non-implementation of the IFM, which is supposed politically to be able to build a state that could have been able to deliver to our people. That's a failure to do. Provinces are beginning to take initiative in the region themselves on their own. Because this IFMF, for the past 10 years, has not been able to deliver. It has been improved government in South Africa. That's why our concern is not about you and how good you are. We are concerned that government is not being accused of being a corrupt government. Because this thing is not there. That's why one answer, how does it happen? Under your leadership, we arrive at such a crisis. How did it happen? We understand the general condition. You can repeat it. But what is your chief? Here. To read this thing like a Bible. We need the constitution like a Bible, and we are fighting with it. Help us take us through this process. Why we come to the important team creation of that DMO of the people of the world, in the general constitution, the expression of the state of the constitution.
Chair, like in any department, in any organization, there are processes that are being undertaken. At no point did we say there could not have been challenges from a government point of view. And I'm saying to you that I acknowledge that it shouldn't have happened, that such 54
I'll read for you the letter that was sent by your Octavian account, acting for the committee chairperson. He says, internal audit regarding issues here. On 24 July, what was audit committee after the deliberation with IFMS team to draw the engaged internal audit to review that the adequacy and effectiveness of the payment process focusing on all payments effective on the first April 2014. Internal audit after the meeting on the 2nd March 2016. A total of 54 findings were identified and at least associated with 49 findings were assessed as catastrophic. While the balance was assessed as high, this list indicates that no reliance can be placed on the operation of the internal controls to mitigate it. The audit opinion express therefore concluded that controls in this environment are inefficient and ineffective, rendering this controlled environment invading. To rectify this and keep adequate controlled environment requires excessive effort, urgent and immediate attention, where management must continue to implement the internal order. Now I'm saying, I'm not reflecting on talking about internal conflict, which can be answered from we want answers from you, sir. And you say we must take it casual and not create a proposal. You are right to accept it, the appointment is coming on the basis that you are there as a legal entity. And that's why it is important for us to describe the conflict. Because it talks about the internal conflict national treasure. We're supposed to be giving hope to South Africa, but their money is the same thing. Now, if you can't even look after our own money that has been provided now, how do we trust you? How do we work with you? When your own internal processes, which provided by your own internal bodies, are not able to mitigate the fight because the ship has not come up for confronting the fourth April, that is proposed that is a very important project towards the unit transport, but if we are not taking on the why would you have go to cabinet, next cabinet, go in the World Bank, and I have witnessed too, but still then, with no deliverance, the problem is a funny one. What is the situation? It's not natural that the NCOAS is not going for now. And why not the case of government is going on? And for African banks, or a proper advocate. If the national treasury is in this state, what has happened?
So I think, you know, as I was even facing the media, that one does not deny the fact that it is done, and one doesn't deny the fact that there are challenges in the project, and honourable members, when even current chair, there are challenges. I don't think we should throw our hands in the air and say, you know, if treasury or this finding can be on treasury, then much. I'm not in that case. I think it's important that we continue to do what's right. We continue to build the trust and confidence that the committee, parliament, South Africans should have for us in the way we manage our affairs. Because not only do we manage our affairs, but also based on the two documents that we are showing in our members, the constitution, the PFMA, that we have taken huge responsibilities to show it on us. And there's no excuse to say these things happen under our watch. But I'm saying, we think that I'm happy that internally also exists because an internal audit process that functions that was able to identify this. And that will point us in the right direction to do something about it. And we are doing something about it. Maybe, Chair, let me indicate what we are doing
actually on a light note, Chair, on this matter, I was going to get a warning letter from my minister. Because the feeling, as we discussed on this, is that we are taking too long to get to the issue. And I think that it is my sector. To him, I cannot give excuses that it's only 3 months that I've been in this role, that I've been doing work here and there. But that's not an excuse. As much as we mentioned other things, the reality here is that things that are ongoing in the project. To that effect, I have, and if you look at the last that I was going to talk to, I have, after uncovering other irregularities, that I've commissioned the internal audit to help me get into the details of what I'm talking about. Stop all payments. All IFMS payments to date have been stopped. And this has been taking place at least for the last, from the 7th, I think. Yes, from the 7th of August. I stopped all IFMS related payments. Meaning, the CFO is informed, the financial management people are informed, anyone who sends their final budget to pay on IFMS related expenditure in the treasury. Why is that here? I did that because I wanted to satisfy myself. In the congested, and there is a very learning curve in the last 3 months. You might have been, well, I'm in the treasury chair for many years, but in the last 3 months, there's been so many things, apart from the recession, apart from the downgrade, apart from engagement with business, investors, and so on, trying to convince people that we have a tightly managed ship as a treasury, and explaining and demonstrating and engaging, we then, on one side, also have to deal with these challenges. And I'm not saying this letter is not true, but I have stopped. I have seen the need. And as much as I'm doing all of these other things, I was also systematically looking and engaging. I must have had, and the audit committee chair here, I've had 3-4 engagements with the audit committee, independent engagements, one-on-one, with the audit committee chair, to just understand what exactly is happening in Ireland from her point of view, from an audit committee point of view. I've spoken, I have, in the treasury itself, because I didn't have enough time, I've asked senior DDG to help me speak to individuals, everyone in the treasury is responsible for this, to understand. So that I act with knowledge and information. Because it's not an easy thing to do. So I have stopped IFMS payments. I'm going to be restructuring the management office chair, the PMO. The PMO, as much as about 4 weeks ago, I called the whole IFMS team. We've got 1,200,000 to know. And I'm not going to know all. I said to the office of an Andrew General, I want to meet each and every person, including a PA, who works on IFMS. I met them. You would be surprised to know that we've got only 4 people, 5 including him, who works on IFMS, on a project that has spent so far 2.2 billion, which is worrying, which is very worrying, because you have a director and 2 deputy directors, and a chief director, and even in her case, she is not full-time on the job. She works 50%. She's employed as chief director of technical support services in the Hunting General Office. She shouldn't be in IFMS, because that's not a core role. An accountant by profession should actually be supporting the work that she is doing. So I have decided, with the permission from the minister, I'm going to be restructuring the project management office of IFMS. And I'm going to be building it up.
Your house. I don't have a problem. It's a very good process to put up in the whole house. Here we're dealing with house. This is people's minds. And I'm saying to you, this is what they say, your own internal audit. Now, you see, this is the whole thing we must say. It says on integrity, non-existent financial and operating control in that item.
non-compliance to law and regulation. Right under pressure. Now the domestic worker that they are coming to in here that is supposed to be in here got nothing to do with it. We are talking about people who are equipped with what skills. We say to you that we invite pleasure to that they are doing a good job doing the deed and that. And say to departments of the city, National Treasury can recommend. And slowly would comment with confidence. For we then hope that Treasury is organized. And if such a unit or such kind of cost inside National Treasury, in itself can even run its own books, how do you expect us to be able to talk to the public? And the money which you don't worry about continues going beyond that extent on a particular project that is not delivered, that would have made it possible for us was standard procurement. Procurement is still here. When Kenny Brown came to us, he spoke so very eloquent and very hopeful procurement under National Treasury is still dealt with. Now, internal audit says they give away to you. We have been misled by this. There's no truth in what they're telling you. Every day that they're telling you. And all the correspondences that go to different departments under your authority, putting them under pressure to improve their services. If they can see this report, they will then be asking parliamentarians, what are you doing? You put us under pressure. We take paperwork to National Treasury, even on FAFSA. They spend the whole time there in National Treasury to be able to be found that they are financially good. And yet, it is internal in your own organization. You can't run a proper organization. How can you trust them? That's the basis of what we wanted to introduce here. I mean, it talks about inadequate payment procedures. There's no procedures of payment inside National Treasury. And we won't call it domestic workers to talk to her about what? For a woman there or a man who have a dream of his numbers answer about you not being able to pay their proper procedures in your own institution. Where does it come in? You will never be able to account because it's not changed. What is wrong with treasure? It's what one knows. We are not helping us. In all these other things that are lamenting, we are not helping us. Don't jump to conclusions. Check us, what is what we do to departments. Take departments on the basis of the work that is and the information provided by the Auditor General, National Auditor General. And you are already at war because you don't want to be seen as a qualified entity. Now you are putting the National Treasury, I mean the National Auditor. You don't want the General Auditor to come with advice so that parliamentarians can be exposed to the inadequacy of National Treasury. And this is what we are wanting to ask. All the other things they are saying to us, the end product of when you came into money. For us, we were there, we are supposed to know what has happened with the entity itself. And IMF, I am saying to you, whatever you are saying, we have spent the video since 2005, and the amount that are increasing. But the internal audit says there's a lot of inadequacies inside National Treasury. How to call this up? The internal audit report is in front of 54 findings and hard 49 findings that are catastrophic to a department that has not been hoped for that.
Allow me to say the following two profound things in terms of how one of the employees approaches the conversation. One, I don't think we want to. Along with bringing constant change, and I appeal to two issues that are not in the agenda. The Auditor General, and we are not bullying the Auditor General. There's no point I mentioned that we are bullying the Auditor General. And I wish that if that this must happen, that's why we are
bullying the Auditor General. I told you that I'm not employed. And we'll never say that. I'm not coming here by you how to ask questions. That you can do to your own children. I'm not your child. I'm not your child. That you can do to your own children. And please describe to them how to, they should engage you. Yeah, I'm doing my work here. Yes, I'm doing my work. If you don't have answers, you don't have answers. But don't come and tell me that, don't ask me, don't ask me about this or that. The 40th general is key, the constitutional body. And if ever you don't want to be able for them to do and monitor your work, say so. And then we will leave our own constitutional obligations and come and listen to you for that and be constituted about that. We must lead you, not lead what is still in front of us. I told you that we are guided by the PFMC, not by your house order. We don't listen to you. I'm not your child. You're not going to come and tell me what you think and how to think. Stop that. Get out of it. I'm not saying to you that they say I have a inadequate treatment of hospitals, lack of project cost monitoring. Now, at that level, when you are in prison, then come and tell us that you ask people to stop payment. What have you done to those that are doing this? But your own internal processes. You bring them in here, but clinically can't even give, I mean, what is it, no format independent quality assurance. She can't provide, can't stop it from pressure. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It doesn't come from correctional services that you are getting to get right. If the institution that he is dealing with, he doesn't know what's going on. I don't understand how I'm going to spend my time. So I don't give other members to see their position, but for me, the details are provided on the detail of his own report in China. It's not that important to my nature, but I can see I have to be making quite easy and break the whole night. But you can hear that the teacher doesn't know anything, he knows the quality of the world, and how to develop his stuff, how about becoming politicians, getting angry. For me, you must talk to what he knows and stop him. The problem is that this national treasure and this offer is giving people. And this is the detail that why I explained to start the one. So that he can give me the detail and give answers to those questions. And he's waiting.
Incompetence at CETA with regard to technology and systems that, you know,
interest in terms of driving the process, and that we also found some vested interest in CETA for being responsible for not complying, so to speak.
I do agree on that. I think
which we all support and endorse in terms of the public finance management. prevent wasteful expenditure, prevent irregular expenditure, or unauthorized expenditure. Now, in terms of this specific page in your internal audit report, ineffective cost management, ineffective project management, and potential increase in wasteful expenditure, what would your views be in terms of this? Can it be addressed? We see, is it in your view that one billion rand, dropped in this instance, could perhaps be classified as good as a waste? Because we clearly see, if you look just below in the page, the report indicates, in addition, management should perform a value for money assessment. And where no value for money was received, management should ensure that amounts paid to the service providers are recovered. Do you have any plans in terms of the recovery plan from service providers where there was money paid, where there was absolutely no value? And are we talking about a billion rand where there's no value?
We probably don't have any plans to recover the money, but I think from the economic question. One, I think we have not ourselves said or come to conclusion that this was fruitless or wasteful expenditure in terms of implementation. However, based on information that we know, that and we are engaging, and I'm going back to the question that I got, and I'm happy that it's coming up in the session, that in terms of that, that process we are currently engaged with, the Auditor General, in terms of our engagement, has classified certain types of expenditure along with that. Our understanding, which is a normal process, before a final audit is issued, so what we're doing then is to come to that conclusion. And that conclusion then will, once that agreement that is put as a way for, we can then look at options available to us.
Thank you. Chairperson, just a very important question with regards to timelines. We have the current two systems that you can have. When do we envisage can we have a new modernized system in place for South Africa? And when can we find solace in terms of, say, yes, we have a new system, South Africa can be at peace, that 30 years later.
We have
the
current slide 25, in terms of the implementation approach and timeline. So we are listed there in terms of where we want to be at in 2022. But I must question and speak to question based on experiences. Because I don't want to come back here as a DG, you said you will be done and dusted in 2021. There could obviously be challenges along the way that I'm faced, and it is just to give you a certain way. But this is currently what is in place, and we hope to going to achieve all of these rollouts that have been done to the community. I'm going to have a few
informed all processes beyond in the taking of the government.
Can I ask, is there anybody nobody in the room that was involved in the planning in 2005. Because clearly, your planning has failed to work. A lot of my family are involved in construction, and I always say we're evolving something, even if the simplest thing is this job. And they say, think it through. In other words, if you want to build a wall, you see how many bricks it's going to take, how much expense it's going to take, you bring it next piece if you want to build it yourself. And you plan the thing out properly. And then you shouldn't have a wall that should cost $1,000 and something that costs $50,000. It shouldn't happen because you assess the job. So is there anyone in this room who can give us any level of indication as to whether or not this thing was planned properly? What level of planning looks like? Yes or no? Is anybody here who can help us?
I don't know if the best man knows, there's no good was involved directly with the project in 2005 in the room.
Okay. DG, would you concede? I'm trying to get my head around. If you decide that you're going to spend in 2005 4.3 billion rand of funds, private funds, obviously that's going to involve complexity. How is it that in your timeline here, when did you discover that this thing was a problem? Did you have your time? In 2007, you had a problem. I'm just trying to throw that deep down to them to get you, but we need to ask these questions. How did Treasury realize they had a problem when they hadn't done any planning? Because surely when you plan a system like this, you assess the job. You say, right, you've got personal, you've got this, you've got that, these are the problems. And you do proper planning and you look at the proper job. How is it possible? And detail in giving it to me. If you ask me, I'm a builder to order a wall in 2005. And in 2007, I ran into challenges. Because I said, we agreed on a price of whatever to build that wall, sooner than we should have been able to tell me the challenges. You see, because DG, that's your money. That's what I've said to you. You're not designing for 12 years. But it's just like, hey, you just came out spending money on it. I'm trying to drive down into who is responsible for planning for this. Can you answer? Because then we'll move on to Chris.
I don't know what happened. Probably talk to what happened from there.
management and CETA program management. We have the HRM module that is implemented at TPSA, and we have the procurement module that is implemented at National Treasury, inclusive of asset management and catalog management.
When was the last money spent on this?
In terms of development?
How long has it been running on
this? It's been currently used as maintenance and support on the applications.
So it's currently in use?
Yes.
Okay, now, the 3.3 billion rand that was created, 4.3 billion, 2.5, which makes a billion so far, what is the remaining money that we spent? 3.3 billion.
The 1 billion that has been selling to us for IFMS 1. For IFMS 2, today, at the 31st of March, it's been 1.2 billion. So total spending on budget compared to budget of 4.2 billion. So then 2.1 billion that is spent.
Okay, that's correct. So we spent 1 million on IFMS 1. Are we using IFMS 1 again?
From 2013 onwards, since the reviews, the three reviews, so there was a decision to replace it on a pause state that did not continue any further enhancement, but rather maintain its software supported for the users and the users. So there was no further investment.
So, for them. I'm trying to work out because nothing happened, because it's 6 years old, how much did that cost us in the beginning? If we got it right first, has that cost us in the beginning? The whole program.
If I can give context, from 2005 to 2007, there was sort of requirements management and master systems plan and so forth. So actual development did not completed by 2007. By 2012, we had, I would say, a working product that was implemented and being used. So that's where the first item this one is.
From
2005 to 6 years.
Was that the idea of 2005? Give it a working model 10 years later.
Unfortunately, Chair, I was not there at the time, so I'm hoping for the plan.
Do you think it was the plan?
I think the plan was to have a working
model. Then how do you practice? Do you think, let's build something in every year, 7 years off. Maybe it's expensive.
No, Chair.
Then how do you practice?
No, not at all. We plan to ensure that we have a full implementation.
So are you appalled at what are the what's happening?
Yes, Jay. In terms of IFMS 1, I think when we looked at the business drivers at the time, I think there were decisions made that we need to look at a hybrid solution. We need to take the environmental factors into place when we look at it.
Now, I'm
still
going into cost drivers. Cost drivers of this of the 4.2 billion. DG, I don't know if you're going to be able to do a CITO on this, but I see that there is quite a large chunk of cash going into CITO. That we're paying, we seem to be paying a lot of money because we don't have capacity to do it ourselves. We pay a lot of money outside because we don't have capacity. So, okay? Can you comment on the capacity of CETA to handle this without using external components?
Chair, what slide are you looking at, sir?
I'm trying to find it. It was a breakdown of the operation.
Back and Thank you.
of the institution that doesn't have programs. We don't make programs. If we go to slide 14, sorry, slide 14 of our presentation. This comes out of the point I'm trying to make. If you look down on slide 14, the cost emanates a bit of its challenge. It's provisional services. 1.2 billion. We're spending 1.2 billion, and the right is that's consultants. Persons outside of outside of CSIS. How much have we spent so far on consultants to help students to do work? On this whole...
Chair, so the context of BCX and Accenture in developing certain modules, I think we spent close to, I would say, 300 million a year. But that is through a contracted service. Obviously, they bring their professionals in.
Right.
Yes, okay, because you don't have the capacity inside teachers to do it. That's
in some of
the cold light of day, that's what you say. You have to bring people in to do it.
I agree.
So the question is on whose watch seems to not capacitate. So we have to go and spend 1.2 billion rand. Now, you said you spent 300 million. I'm telling you right now, you'll get to 1.2 billion rand, probably more. I'm prepared to get in 1,000 rand right now because I know government and I'm going to. Why don't we have the capacity? It's like Treasury hiring accountants to do the petty cash.
Chief, when I look at the slide, I look at it as the cost elements as something. Chair, when we manage projects, my understanding is that this is a temporary organization, which means we bring people to do a piece of job and we release them of that obligation. To have permanent people sitting within CETA to do all this work, I don't think this is a prudent way to do things. Our idea, I project, I believe, on management programs, is to bring, to insource the people to, in order to boost CEDA's capacity in order to deliver. So for CEDA not having these people sitting in-house, I don't think it's a prudent way to do it. So we bring the people for a piece of job when we require them, get them to do the job with the least. That's how we capacitate the organization.
Okay, so effectively what you're saying to me is that if you started now, right, so today is 2017, and I think the objective model was DG was 2021. Right? So you're telling me that if you were to bring people in to work in the department, monthly salary, between now and 2021 would cost you 1.2 billion rand. There is no way your salary will be 1.2 billion rand in 4 years. Or even in the entire life of this project, 12 years, 1.2 billion rand for the team of people that you use to do this. It's not thousands of people, it's a team. We can do this. What you're doing is you're going down the road of an iron consultant to try and put in big contracts, big markups. Has a laughing all the way to the bank and taxpayers are sitting in the bottom because CETA doesn't basically to do their own work. Can you answer that? Do you really think that you would spend 1.2 billion rand on the team that you would need to develop the architecture properly? And if you are, I'd like to know what you're going to be paying those IT folks to come and do.
Mr. Chair, can I try and answer?
People have expected management but I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. I'm just saying that it is odd because these are the people who lead the institution and are accountable, you know, for it. Let's hear your view.
Mr. Chair, I think the analogy of the building contract was a very good analogy. I think building a project of this nature is no different to building a building. And during the phases of the building, you need different subuse, whether it's a plasterer, whether it's a joiner, whether it's a tiler. A project of this nature needs the same kind of expertise. You'll need a software engineer for a period of time. You need an implementer for a period of time. A, there's a shortage of this kind of skill in the country. B, if we try and hire them, we're going to land up with a overhead in the future that we don't need. And thirdly, we will be able to empower small SMEs and smaller companies to fulfill smaller roles within the project that will solve the bigger picture as we go through the project. So I think a project of this nature, it would be irresponsible, to be honest, to employ all these skills internally, because at the end of the day we're going to sit with big retrenchment costs and unnecessary skills. And finally, the biggest problem is the skills aren't all available in the open market, and I think that's one of the reasons why we use small skilled boutique software houses to do different functions within this project.
Okay, thank you for that. And I fully hear what you're saying about building. You've heard of a fixed term contract. You don't have to employ people for it to go to a fixed term contract. And then also, is Oracle a small boutique company? TR Technologies are it. Boutique. Can do is that? The name that confused me. There's an objection. Accenture. Are they small boutique little companies? If you're referring to helping SMEs, then can you just tell me which small companies have benefited out of this particular deal and what amount that was awarded to Oracle? Which small startup businesses of the small man have been helped?
My understanding is that software licenses is Oracle, but when it comes to the implementation, and this is what has been my understanding going forward, that contract has not been signed yet, and that will be the SMEs and other companies that will fulfill those roles. But the core software you have to buy from the vendor. But the only contract that has been awarded, in my understanding, from the audit committee, is the actual vendor license agreement.
I think we'll take advantage of
Chair, so what we're talking about, Chair, is we're going to spend $422 million and six on licensing fees, that's for Oracle, and then annual license maintenance fee is $630 million, I suppose that's Oracle as well, that's $1 billion. Right, so $1 billion with one company. I hope they've got a lot of insurance accounts. So is $1.2 billion going to be spent with this one license? Is that can you, and now, right now, so when you told us that already you were starting, can you give us a list of all the small businesses that you've used?
Chair, at the moment, we are entering into phase two. We have just bought the software, so we are installing the software, and we're also looking at architecture and design. So,
now, what I want to know is where's the list of plumbers, tilers, the joiners, the carpenters, the kitchen fitting guys? All those tradesmen those small businesses that are paying the school fees for kids.
We haven't gotten to them yet. In terms of the small businesses.
Right, then we have a small little item of sunlight. That's quite a chunky amount for sunlight. What is that, tea and coffee? You who put that together, I didn't make to use it. Sundries is a very dangerous line up because it could be a problem. You could actually just cash out sundries and not cash out. So what is that being spent on sundries? I understand it, but it's an estimate. Do we know where we are with it? Sundries?
It is an estimate as we indicated there,
yeah.
But we as we indicated there, for example, auditory could come from the training. Because it was spent against it, both for Artemis 1 and Artemis 2, so at the appropriate time we can give you the details of what exactly we spent.
Okay, then finally, what are you charging Treasury for under operating expenses and hosting expenses? That's a total of about $500 million. What are you charging them for? What are you actually doing for
hosting?
We pay all this other money to professional services and to outside people and small non-profit businesses. What are you?
We are hosting, which is a server infrastructure. Some of this already done in management. Hosting the software already, and the operating expenses is the cost of personnel which has been currently running.
So you're renting the hosting,
right?
You're renting it to the spot.
Yes, that's what I would say, it's hosting.
I suppose that's right, you're charging for the one. I don't know why into the pot you're into the other system. Chair, I'm going to wind up. I've been very guilty. But you obviously you are a generous chair. DG, please don't be so coy about when you're going to be finished with this. You are a man of great importance to our country. You need to keep commit and say it's going to be ready then and it's going to cost so much. Because it's quite easy to say, well, this will be finished sometimes and we'll see what it costs. We don't expect somebody of your importance to have. So wish you was. Can you commit, please? Can you give us a commitment today that you are going to ride this violent, wild horse and keep it on track and make sure that it comes in on budget or, if possible, under budget? Can you give us a commitment?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the commitment, I think I can make to the committee that we will ensure that we stretch the rent within the budget in terms of getting value for money, one, and two, making sure that everything that's spent is can be accounted for, and that we should stick to time frame. That's what I can commit for. And if need be, along the way, if I don't meet those commitments, year we will inform the committee that we are having challenges here. But the commitment I'm making, I think, is saying that in terms of the custodians of public resources, public money, we will ensure that ready for money, there's ready for money in the project, and we will ensure that we meet the deadline, because delay can only cost more, and can only not address the issue that we have already talked about, dealing with corruption, because this essentially is attempting to bring the whole accounting, because the legal system is not giving that integrated view of the project.
General acknowledgement from the DGD on the irregularities within the group. And he indicated to us that through the recommendations from the Audit Committee, they commissioned the Audit Committee, that is a forensic investigation. In slide 38, I look at bullet number 1, 2, 3, 5. We are saying the initial advent on the company that was supposed to be or that did the forensic project was at the time of 820, and it was subsequently changed to 820, sorry. And it was subsequently changed to 9010. Well, what were the results?
The project, the forensic project, was an audit committee project, was not the result of the management source. And I request the audit committee to talk about the audit committee.
Thank you very much. I think it was an open issue, because when we were busy with the process, it was recognized that the extent of the investigation and the amount of work that was done was quite sufficient. So hence the adjustment that needed us to move into the 90s was quite sufficient. Yeah, so I mean the investigators were required to do things like imaging, going to people's accounts, so even in the analysis that supply chain is attempted to us, they then mentioned that it did not possibly work with the individual, we do need to move it into an existing space so that you allow them to expand it.
In the initial
payment,
that was not taken into consideration.
No, that I mean it was, but it was obviously also based on the suggestions and support that we got from the supply chain that we changed.
And we have the forensic report.
No, Chairperson, we do not have the forensic report. I mean, here's an indication on the last slide, or the bullet that the video was written by the forensic report. That talks about the challenges we had with the service provider to the extent that initially the decision from the committee was that contractual cost obligation is to be terminated. What are the challenges? Yeah, so if I were to break it down, basically there were issues of performance, which are present. So the service provider in Woolish, this was the law. Deloitte forensic was the service provider. Yeah, so the chairperson of the committee wants to be the one to respond, so let me give that up to you.
Thank you, Chair. To you, Deloitte was a private service provider, and during the process, there were issues with the ethical conduct, which we identified around the 10th of March 2017. On the 2nd of March, one of the officials from Deloitte wrote an email to the DG Corporation basically the email was saying that given the work that they are currently executing, can Treasury give them guarantees or assurance that God will not hamper their future engagement in the project? As the committee, when I got that correspondence, we engaged with it and we then interviewed that we had reached their objectives and therefore relying on their executive office. That was the primary reason why the committee was taking the decision to terminate my appointment. Subsequent to that process, we obviously engaged in a process with them. And upon executing that process, we had to consider the final draft report, which was submitted to us on the 20th of March. And then at that time, I wanted to check that it was the time already after the correspondence that reached their objectives. So in considering the report, the main objective was mainly to determine how much of the work that they have done they ought to be paid for. And in doing that, the committee in assessing the work based on the report, it was found that the work that they did and the report that was submitted was rendered inadequate.
Now, thanks. If we are saying that you stop at the report that you have received, that was said, and you paid them, that you summoned, or they were not paid anything.
Obviously, when you terminate a contract, work needs to take into consideration the fact that the work was undertaken. And we knew at the time that one of the offerings on the table from their side is for them to compensate for the work that they have given them. So that's the process that we look at. So given the conclusion of the assessment of the committee, we then consider that they are not actually eligible for anything. So no payment was actually made. I must actually compliment the DDG for the high moral ground that upon receiving that correspondence, he basically forwarded that to the respective stakeholders, one being internal audit and the other one being the project team itself. And that's how I got to know about it. About 49%, of which type of them were regarded as a very high risk condition. I just wanted to comment on the issue in terms of moving from the IMF 1 into the IMF 2 in terms of these five high risk conditions. How are you going to deal with this issue together in terms of society? For me, Chairperson, I think they are very much important moving forward in terms of wanting to implement this project with our citizens and the community.
Thank you, Chair.
I must mention that these are for IFMS 2 related findings. And in particular, they were for that payment reading zero. So we are mentioning the management has in their revised comments accepted the majority of the internal audit findings, and at the time they had already begun implementing all of the ICD internal audit recommendations as reported. And demonstration of such action are from slide 30 onwards, right into slide 35, 36, in terms of all of the findings. We have taken corrective action when necessary in terms of whether it's process, whether it's worksheets that, the time sheets that have been assigned, or payment process, or no approvals, in process, but all of those findings, we have taken action and we are demonstrating what exactly happened under each of these slides.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to follow up as well on the project that was not really the impact of the project. Just to check in fact, what you mentioned earlier, something of it, that if there's any major project that you can have any option,
we have not taken any disciplinary measures as yet. I'm bracketing as yet because two processes that I indicated to you are imposed. One, and I give the reason earlier on, the time and the period and wanting to specify myself that the action that I'll be taking will be an appropriate one. There is an internal process over and above what the internal process committee picked up. I have to certify myself and appointed two senior DDGs who will have interviewed each and every one who one would have been interested. That's one process. And secondly, the one was awaiting, and it's unfortunate that the process now for forensic police is going to be a while before we get the results. But with the action and the report, draft report that I got from the two-person DDG team, one is comfortable and ready to can act. That's why I think my last bullet that I included this morning to say, then I've got full authority and fuller picture of what kind of reorganization, what kind of reorganization will I do or will I make on the ultimate project. That involves a wide ranging of issues, including what I said earlier when I was informing some of our data. We, for instance, there is a process now. Because I said the challenge is that even now, as we implement items, and that essentially just makes of the payment, there's pointers that then justify the action that we have to take on key individuals, that will help us rectify the process, that will help us, and as I said, indicate, reorganize the project management. So there is evidence now that will give the authority to act in a way that I think is appropriate in line with recognizing that this program has been challenging. Recognizing also that even the Editor General, in terms of draft body findings, has identified some of the challenges that really give me justification for me to take
action. Thank you for that response, PG. But maybe just want to add that maybe the PG will be informed in terms of that process. Chairperson, I think my last follow-up question will be to Peter. I just want to get the role of Peter in terms of project management to the project, or in terms of your oversight. To me, chapter 17, I feel like Peter didn't do a proper oversight. So I just need to be convinced from myself that I understand what is not of your role. because I think when I do the calculations, I think things have spent almost like 280 million on ICS one. And which the whole project really simplifies. So for me, it doesn't seem like they were very nice. So convincing.
The role of Sutta is shown on slide 18.
Yes.
That's the image.
That's
the image. So, they were part of the principle of the Indonesian Center of the Market. And then the two parts there, which one is the financial management, the other one is the one that's called ATP. And I think what my colleague has just mentioned, that some of those modules there are working, and some of them are not. The CETA could have done better. Right now, the overall project management is with the CETA.
It's not fair enough to say that teacher could have done that. Then it means even next year, even on this IFS, it was going to say teacher could have done better. It's not convincing. What is it that you do? What is it that you have been paid for? Maybe they might not respond.
materials procured and the own internal supply chain process that will have been that in the procurement of the industry.
What we need to do is to further
strengthen implementation side of the project, strengthen the oversight role that the steering committee should play on the project, and also strengthen and the chair must be open and blind. I told the team a few days ago that I'm supposed to be chairing a steering committee in terms of diagram that is on page 3, slide number 3. On slide number 3, you have IFM steering committee. And when I check what is this, and you explain, they said I'm the chair of the committee. And then I asked, you know, then I saw a meeting being arranged for this committee. And then I requested, in the meeting, I picked up that the last time, and I said for 3 months, but from 15th of May, when I started taking till today, there has never been a steering committee, and I guess 3 months. For 10 billion, for 4.3 billion, or 2.2 billion, at least we should have met one at least. But then in inquiring, I found out the meeting last 2 days in November last year, of the steering committee. So some say, I'm not here to, compare problems. And I'm prepared, as I committed earlier to the question, to get to the bottom of this project and actually make sure that it works. Make sure that at least the 2.2 billion that we've already spent, we can get value for it, including the balance that we're going to spend, in order to strengthen this. So stopping the project for November will be detrimental, and we might justify the fruitless, the wasteful expenditure that we already are talking to with the AG. Thank you.
The AGSA on site the filing of the AGSA 2.7 worth of delay payments to AGSA. I mean, I would expect this to happen in the municipality, but not a dialogue of the municipality that cannot pay Auditor General of Abakan. And the problem with a big department like you must pay AGSA, it means they won't be able to do their work. So what happened? Why was the AGSA not paid? If you can have all your MS and young, which the chairperson had a concern with last week, that why is only MS and young a company here in South Africa? Why are we always involving them? Why not involving others? And in fact, your own is being not a short project.
This is one of the 54 findings, and we, this is not unnecessary. We shouldn't have. The first thing, all management institutes are being monitored on a daily basis. You owe someone, say, at least we've got 30-day room, and it should be to anybody that we owe, and it shouldn't be. That's why I use the word lapses. These are where unnecessary in the way where this finding. I mean, we should have done much better. And I think, the project management office is on top of this. I don't think it should ever happen again, because the CFO did not sign. Oh, the fact that the CFO must sign, but there are some findings whereby the CFO did not sign, or someone is not approved. I don't know what comes to happen, but effectively, we want all clear payments to be clear before they are made. And so, this lapses need long term. We discuss them internally, and we think it's critical that we don't fix such a thing. And this talks to the broader role. That if pressure is failing on these things, then this is the serious concern.
Why is it you discussing this issue with the Minister of Treasury? National Treasury, Minister of Finance. Why is it difficult for officials of government to collaborate with other people? Like, you had that the service provider that is in the system. We should have used our own names, our own agency. Why do we rush to leave them and go and use others? Why is this a problem? Why are we overusing the service provider? And when are we going to put an end to them? These contractors, we have them year in, year out, and some of these contracts, they are so it means forever we will still have these people at our end. We talk about economic transformation, every day, but we fail to do it well, our own day-to-day work, implementing and making sure that we deal with your NSN and PricewaterhouseCoopers and all those people. Because there are millions of South Africans who are not working. There are graduates who have their certificates. I remember in my first case, if somebody who had a social worker was applying to an administration position. That's how bad it is. And yet, you find a CEO here saying, now we have this service provider. So they even call them for fixed. What is it say about for fixed? So they have for fixed skills. Why are we playing around with South African? The minister, when he comes, he will ask us to that overusing of service providers. CETA, of consultants. CETA, one thing is about us as the members of the committee. And I don't know who advised you to say, we're seeing the problem, we're seeing the problem. When we were with correction, I said, oh, we gave the same answer. We are not here to play. We are not bored. We didn't call you because we are bored. I think just as we need to have CETA coming, we are not CETA with correctional service or CETA coming with a treasury or IFMS. CETA must come here because there are lots of problems with CETA. That's why some of our departments, chairperson, are not even using them. Because they cannot deliver. They are not committed at all. That's why they can answer the way that they are answering. There are millions of friends that you have used inappropriately, so you cannot even account to them. And they overuse again of service providers. What you have said here, the way you are answering some of my colleagues here on, you are actually saying there is nothing that you are doing. The consultant. Chairperson, we cannot talk about capacity blanketly, so we need to qualify or quantify this capacity problem that we have. And I need to have a report on all the consultants that is contracted to do some work for you. When are those contracts going to expire? And again, if we could have a report on your skills audit of CETA, so that we can check from the report to the skills audit and check it as opposed to your service providers or contractors that you're having outside of your CETA. Check if we can make it up together. And looking at this chapter, so are we going to achieve what was said in the MPP? Thank you. Chair, from my side, I just wanted to get from what you just said, we have challenges in this process. And I also would like to out of the internal audit report, there were two processes that came out. One process was obviously intervention by management to get to have those witnesses in the internal report. The other process is investigation, which is basically the forensic investigation. As far as the forensic investigation is an available, the lawyers have been terminated, there's a new process underway. Terms of reference has been crafted and will also be expanded on the initial one to cover every member of the room identified as the obsession. So from our structure, we do acknowledge that there are challenges. There's also an increase in terms of specific focus from which where from the best places, this was basically listed comprehensively with other programs in the country. There has been a new process now whereby this assessment or this committee specifically focuses on IMS projects. From the committee, we also see IMS as a standalone, just to make sure that specific focus is given, just to make sure that all these areas we don't need to.
The last one is the director.
Our answer is and related to license, our contract. When a lot of people are here, we have a machine. Here, the man can say the project is for people. But this is why we, for the whole project, we better take the whole project and help the project and go into the world benefits, how much we need to start dealing with the different entities, different parts of the company, dealing with the old time parties, the larger parts, and even the different providers of the kingdom of authority. It is not a good thing. So I go home to protect in teach and how much. Now these are kind of other studies. Internal audit says that our team is to try and go along with things that it seems like in our work in fact we discuss. What the internal audit says is during the review, we noted that some of them were complained that full program of budget for the IFMS program of 4.2. However, there was no supporting documentation, record of financial analysis, included to justify the expenditure line items related to the program of 4.2. Now, that should be shocking. The cabinet itself and just give a document of that nature and push his mind to the system. How does that happen? The cabinet guy panel, how does it make such solution of this issue? Where there's no total breakdown, 9 items. And a project that was so much taken since 2005 up until today, and the cabinet just pushes money to one. What we are talking about is 4 ministers of the process decided over the structure program. 2 presidents of the but no result. No result. No consequence. In the same way, the Bob Hawk was not in Germany. We are being watching. How can cabinet not have seen anything wrong with IFMS and agreed on it? And agreed on 4.2. No motivation, nothing explained. That's why the different service providers are just chowing Christmas. During the conference, how does it happen?
not my life. I got cabinet of studies. But except that I had the subject. And he was so much in love.
Okay.
And he was the director general program. And he just sat there and he just looked at it and lost the decision. How can cabinet allow this kind of expenditure? Go on with it. Now I'm 4.6 million. Nothing was achieved. It was a perfect thing that how can this expenditure? How is it going to happen? How can the Iranian government with this nature? There's nothing wrong with that. Every minister will give us a certain time. How does that decision come to happen? Let's have the justice. No, no, 4.6 million, I manage on my back of an account. How can the cabinet come to such big decisions? And it's quite clear that just the people that the general minister of interest, we can have 4 ministers sign over one project and they themselves not to do that. Even at the stage, that's quite clearly if 1 billion is spent and there's no accountability, and the plan is over the cabinet. I like what Tima said. 2005, the book was in the book. What I'm saying is that people accountable. And before me, ignoring such situation. This is a bad thing for me. How does that happen? How do we come to that? Where the expenditure is not the current market of the government. But it's shocking. Why some people who have had like this are happening without the self-correct evidence of how that money is obtained. How limited it is to the world with our territory system and the government.
This is a complex process, but when you do, you allocate the first
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the members of the committee for a really robust engagement on this project. I think FOCA does our constitution a great service, and I think the attention you pay to the detail of the report submitted without sounding flattering or condescending actually justify the high office we occupy in our public institution. We are the better because of that engagement. because you point us to the direction that we towards which we need to move. Let me start checking by saying we are here because of the truth. On the one hand, it's the failure of internal control and accountability with regard to this project. But on the other hand, it's the robustness of our internal audit, which uncovered these problems and put them to the fore. I think we need to pay due credit to the internal audit executives and the internal audit committee for their steadfastness, their independence in raising these issues and refusing to do anything other than pointing to the weaknesses in the system and ensuring that necessary action is taken to address the matters that we now are setting. I certainly am giving my attention to the report and the issues which have been raised in the report of the Internal Audit Executive and the Audit Committee. I have had several meetings with them, as well as with the Director General, to address this matter. Hence the intervention that the Director General referred to earlier, which includes appointing to act somebody with requisite skills and who would be able to dedicate 100% of the time to the IFMS program, the suspension of all payments until we are satisfied that the internal controls have been properly established. We will pay attention to the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer to ensure that it plays the role it has to play in relation to this and other projects. We will ensure that as soon as possible we find a permanent person to head the IFMS project, and we will also ensure that as speedily as possible, the forensic investigation is instituted so that we can get to the bottom of the matters before us arising from the report. The question will always arise with regard to the conduct of Deloitte. Quite evidently, we need to pay attention to that. I have directed the Director General to write to the Independent Regulation Board of Auditors to report this matter officially and request IRBA to institute an inquiry as to whether the conduct of Deloitte was actually consistent with professional conduct required of the audit firm. Given the email which they sent to the DDG Corporate Service and the report which they submitted and the grounds on which that report has been wholly rejected, with a resolution on our part that we're not going to pay for such a shoddy work because we believe they could have done a better job. I think what compromised the work they did was the mere fact that they sought that assurance, that guarantee that we must give them that they will in future get business from the treasury. So all of those, and perhaps more, I think arising from the forensic investigation, it is my understanding that the Hawks have also communicated to the DG that they are investigating the aspects of this matter.
the writing out of all of this, there will therefore be a good action against anybody who may be found to have acted wrongly. But just to comment briefly on a few things, and I will not be long, Chairperson. It is our intention to get to the bottom of it. I think there is no doubt about it. We apologize for where we have failed, I think, to answer adequately to the committee. And we will act in urgent to get to the bottom of the matter. The clearly was a failure of internal control and accounting responsibilities in regard to this. And we are going to re-establish those internal controls and ensure that there are relevant structures and people to account for the work that has to be done by the in relation to the ISMS, because it remains an important project to be done. Now, when cabinet memoranda are submitted to cabinet, they don't come in detail project plan, because cabinet takes an executive decision. Such detailed project plans would have been submitted to relevant DG committee. They would have gone through them and approved them. And so cabinet takes executive decision. Sufficient information is provided to cabinet. And so the cabinet itself, yes, will have been provided with a detailed memo, but it would not have received a very detailed supporting documentation in the form of a project plan that explains how the project is going to unfold right up to implementation and conclusion. And that's why the accounting officers, who are the directors general of the respective institutions, are the ones ultimately who account for the project that are being implemented. And so we at Treasury take responsibility for any lapses which have happened in this regard, and as I have indicated, we promise to get to the bottom of the matter so that where there are resources which have been lost and need to be recovered, they can be recovered, and where anybody needs to be acted again, relevant legal action is undertaken. But I want to say, Chairperson, all of what happened notwithstanding, it must not erode the trust and the integrity of the nation in the National Treasury. Because this was one lapse in an institution that manages a whole range of very huge programs and finances of the state. Yes, one will put a dent on the trust, but overall, the Treasury does its work to the best of its ability, supported by very well-skilled public officials who every day try their very best to serve the nation everything that they've got. It is important that the National Treasury continues to role model competent, prudent program management and financial management as well as accountability. And this is precisely why we should take this program very, very seriously. To learn what has happened from this program, to correct the mistakes, ensure that they do not happen again. There was a question asked about the continued use of consulting. And it's a matter that over time we are going to overcome. Because there are areas by whose nature you would find you need to have more consultants, because the service or the function offered there is perhaps seasonal, and therefore you don't need a permanent capacity, or for a variety of reasons. But it is important for us that we continue to reduce government reliance on consultants and rely more on our permanent capacity. Now, you have then a dilemma which goes hand in hand with the allocation of work in government institutions and society in general. Why certain institutions would seem to get more work from government and other private institutions than others. 96% of South Africa's audit business, audit market, dominated by four firms. And all four of them are multinational. And only 4% of the audit market is occupied by South African homegrown black audit firms. And some of these in the 96% have up to 120-year contracts. I fail to believe that I can remain independent and give you an independent audit if I have a 120-year contract with you. And that is why the independent regulatory board for auditors came up with the report they produced last year, as part of which they recommended the mandatory audit firm rotation principle, so that we try to introduce that principle of audit firm rotation among businesses in South Africa to give all firms a chance. This was introduced at Transnet with great success. For the first time you saw around 2011 the emergence of at least three big black firms, Sizwe-Ntantuba Bokoto, Mbongi, as well as Sikela Chabuma. But unless you introduce this, because it becomes a vicious cycle, you don't give them work, they can't hire more chartered accountants and forensic auditors, they therefore can't get work because they don't have capacity, and therefore it just becomes a vicious cycle. But you can reverse the cycle by giving them work so that they can hire more capacity, so that they can participate in these spaces which are ordinarily not occupied by black and female-owned firms. That is why the entire concept of procurement strategy in government ought to be reimagined, so that it doesn't only relate to the procurement of goods, but it also relates to the procurement of services, such as audit services, legal services and other professional services. And that is where you are able to inject change directly in the economy and effect that economic transformation that brings new players into the party. That must be done not just to increase the numbers of black consultants, but to increase the opportunities for black firms to even obtain business in the private sector. Because the more government can demonstrate confidence in these firms, the more they can deliver to government, the more all other firms, including private firms, can have confidence in the services they provide and can procure their services. So we have a responsibility. And I think the entire treasury, therefore in relation to the ISMS, needs to bring together a comprehensive response to how we are going to address the matters that have been raised as a result of the ISMS in such a manner that we can continue to reap the benefits of the project, of the system, at the same time as we eliminate the slippage and the weaknesses in the system that have created the problems that we are now setting. It must be the responsibility ultimately of the executive authority and the accounting general. So the buck stops with me. I take full responsibility for what has to happen in order to ensure that the problems that are here are properly addressed. I have received the DG's full commitment to also taking decisive measures to address these. And we will do that. I hope we will not come back to Scopa again to face the grilling we face today as a result of this report. And that in the future we should be able to report to you the decisive steps we have taken in order to address this. We have requested some more additional information on certain things, including on what was the original cost submitted to Cabinet in 2002 when the project was approved. And other information, additional information you have requested, we will submit that information as a follow-up and will update the committee on the additional steps that we are taking in order to address the weaknesses which have been identified. I must, in conclusion, Chairperson, thank both the committee, but also thank our internal audit mechanism. I must thank them again. I think they have done what is expected of them. They swept nothing under the carpet. They put everything to the fore. We are sitting here because of the work they did. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.